Denim Company.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Lawrence Ropin, and I represent 42nd Parallel in this case. I'm going to make this short because I want to reserve most of my time for rebuttal, Your Honor, but this case is essentially involves two competitors in the downtown district of Highland Park, both of whom cater to the precise same customer, and that is customers between the ages of 12 and 24 who sought out high-end fashion jeans and t-shirts. Now, for a while, these two particular stores carried the same product, or the same jeans, one of which was manufactured by one of the defendants, Western Gloves, the other one was manufactured by the other defendant, Buffalo Jeans. At some point in time, as alleged in the complaint, the competitor, E Street, which is another defendant in the case, induced these three or four suppliers not to do business with my client anymore. And that is, he's no longer carries the Buffalo Jeans or the Western Glove Jeans. After that happened, Your Honor, after that illegal conduct on the part of E Street, the E Street then began selling jeans at a highly inflated price, higher than what he was selling at before. Now, based on that complaint, the trial court dismissed it, stating that we had not alleged an antitrust complaint here, but I submit to the court that that's wrong. It's there in the complaint. And indeed, what we did was show that once the legal restraint had exceeded, prices to the consumer had risen. This wasn't a potential.
These are just two little stores on Highland Park.
Well, I want to address that, Your Honor, because the court had misread the complaint to suggest that there were other stores in the relevant market area that were carrying these precise blue jeans, and that was not the case. That's a simple misreading of the complaint. What we had said in the complaint was that one of the suppliers had actually lied about why it was quitting supplying my particular company. They claimed to my client that they were having problems supplying all stores throughout the United States. There was a bigger demand for this product than there was a supply. My client called around to the various stores, not in the relevant market area, but various stores in Chicago, various stores in Illinois and other states, and found that those stores that carried those lines were getting their orders filled on time and in full. And that's what the complaint said. It never said that those blue jeans were being carried by other stores in the relevant market area, Your Honor. So that was a simple misreading of the complaint. The court said that we didn't plead an antitrust injury, and we had. It's in the complaint. Pled various allegations. And that is simply that because my client was eliminated as a competitor in these particular brand lines, which are highly fashioned, highly sought out blue jeans, prices raised. And that's the very harm that the antitrust laws are designed to protect. I addressed the misreading of the complaint, Your Honor, and I'm going to save the rest of my time for rebuttal.
All right, counsel.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Sandy Mullenbeck of McDermott Will & Emery. I represent Appellee Western Glove Works, and this morning I'll be speaking on behalf of all appellees. I'm joined in court this morning by Dean Gramlich, also of McDermott Will & Emery, and Diane Klotnia, who is of Miller, Shakeman & Hamilton, counsel for Urban Outfitters. Judge Anderson was correct when he described this case as involving nothing more than a battle between two little shops in Highland Park that simply does not rise to the level of a federal antitrust action. Four independent grounds support dismissal of the amended complaint, and I'll first discuss the two relied on by Judge Anderson and that Mr. Rosen has discussed, and then I'll also briefly turn to two additional grounds that support dismissal as well. Judge Anderson found facts in the amended complaint that are inconsistent with the existence of market power, that is, the ability to raise prices above competitive levels, that is a threshold requirement in any antitrust case. In paragraph 33 of the amended complaint, plaintiff alleged that other shops in the area are filled with the same product that plaintiff allegedly cannot obtain from the defendant manufacturers. Now, Mr. Rosen says in court today that that allegation refers to products in other states, not to products in the relevant market area. But if you look at that allegation, what it says is that E Street and other stores in the area are filled with the same product. Likewise, other retail stores throughout the U.S. and in other parts of Illinois have had little or no problems having absorbers filled. By implication, therefore, when he refers to other stores in the area, he must be referring to the market area that he goes on to discuss later in the complaint. It's also important to note that 42nd Parallel has waived any ability to make an argument that Judge Anderson misconstrued the import of that allegation when he determined that by alleging that other shops in the area were filled with these products, 42nd Parallel had also essentially alleged that E Street didn't have market power. I'll point out that in its opening brief to this court, 42nd Parallel merely stated that Judge Anderson had failed to find the existence of market power. But what Judge Anderson did was different. What Judge Anderson found was that the fact that plaintiff had volunteered demonstrated that the existence of market power was impossible. And although Judge Anderson pointed to that fact, those allegations specifically, 42nd Parallel did not address that aspect of his reasoning at all in its opening brief, and therefore it cannot make an issue of it now. Another reason Judge Anderson found that this antitrust or supposed antitrust complaint was not proper is that these same facts alleged in the amended complaint are inconsistent with the existence of an injury to competition. Based on the facts alleged by the plaintiff, which we must take as true for purposes of a motion to dismiss, we know that E Street lacks market power. And a firm without market power is not able to inflict an injury to competition. It's not able to force consumers to pay higher prices because those consumers will simply turn to the other retailers in the market, to E Street's competitors, to buy those goods. 42nd Parallel's real argument or real complaint here is that its business has been injured as a result of the defendant manufacturer's alleged refusal to deal with it. It says that it has lost profits and suffered a business injury. But that's not the sort of injury that the antitrust laws are designed to prevent. The antitrust laws are concerned with the welfare of consumers and of competition, not of individual competitors. So if an individual competitor is injured, but there are other competitors in the market, consumers aren't injured, and the antitrust laws are not violated. The two remaining grounds that also support dismissal have to do with the concept of market definition. As this court knows, for antitrust purposes, a relevant market has two dimensions, a product dimension and a geographic dimension. And 42nd Parallel's allegations with respect to both of those dimensions are irretrievably flawed. Turning first to the idea of
the product. How are they flawed, please?
Excuse me?
How are they flawed?
I'd be happy to explain that, Your Honor. With respect to the product market definition, the key question in defining a product market is use interchangeability. From the point of view of a consumer, what are the reasonable substitutes for those products? All reasonable substitutes, a full array of them, must be put into that product market. And it's the antitrust plaintiff's burden to allege, at least by reference to the rule of interchangeability, what the parameters of the product market are. 42nd Parallel's allegations with respect to product market has nothing at all to do with interchangeability. In fact, what 42nd Parallel alleges is that this supposed product market is composed of blue jeans manufactured by Western Glove, Buffalo Jeans, and Urban Outfitters, and t-shirts manufactured by Grassroots. Now, obviously, from a consumer's point of view, a t-shirt is not a good substitute for a pair of blue jeans. Plaintiff was not thinking about interchangeability when plaintiff constructed this supposed product market. What plaintiff was thinking of was of gerrymandering a very narrow product market solely by reference to the particular items that it has not been able to obtain, allegedly, from these defendant manufacturers. And I submit that if another manufacturer had decided not to sell another particular clothing item to 42nd Parallel, that 42nd Parallel would have put that item into this product market as well. The antitrust laws reject that sort of result-oriented, self-serving product market definition. The rule of interchangeability is what must be addressed, and it's not addressed, and therefore, his pleading is inadequate. With respect to the geographic market definition, what plaintiff alleges is that the relevant geographic market is a very narrow area of downtown Highland Park. Not even all of downtown Highland Park, but just a small subsection of downtown Highland Park. In essence, 42nd Parallel alleges that consumers who want to buy t-shirts and blue jeans are constricted to these very few square blocks of downtown Highland Park to make those purchases. That allegation is contradicted by common knowledge of economic realities. And this court has said that even on a motion to dismiss, a court need not don blinders and ignore commercial realities in determining those allegations. There's nothing in the amended complaint to suggest that a consumer would not be willing to go beyond a few blocks to purchase its blue jeans and t-shirts. And in fact, what 42nd Parallel alleges is that Highland Park is a destination community to which consumers will travel in order to make purchases. Now, if that's true, if people from outside Highland Park can get in to buy things, well, then obviously people from inside Highland Park can get out. So the geographic market alleged by the plaintiff is implausibly narrow and can be rejected by this court. In summary, there are at least four independent grounds supporting dismissal of the amended complaint. The allegations that plaintiffs made demonstrate a lack of market power and a lack of injury to competition, and the definition of the relevant product market does not discuss the rule of interchangeability as required. The geographic market definition is not consistent with commercial realities and can be rejected. For all these reasons, this court should affirm the dismissal of the amended complaint.
Does the record show what those pants cost, those blue jeans?
Not at all.
Or the t-shirts?
No.
Can you give me a wild guess as to what they pay for them in Highland Park?
I'm sorry,
I'm not in the market. I was just curious.
I couldn't, because I have to say it's been a while since I've purchased a pair of blue jeans myself.
Well, maybe Judge Evans can enlighten us.
They're all cheaper in Milwaukee.
My curiosity piques me as to what makes these things so particularly attractive to us. I stood at Highland Park, everybody got a car when they were 16, so they'd go any place they wanted to buy anything they wanted.
Well, Your Honor,
what makes these so attractive?
You're exactly right. We need to understand why it is that these jeans are so attractive, and there's nothing in the record to demonstrate why the jeans manufactured by other suppliers who are not defendants in this lawsuit aren't also reasonable substitutes for these particular jeans. There is no allegation in the record or in the complaint whatsoever to explain to the court, to address that very question, what's so special about these jeans.
All right. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
All right. To answer your question, Your Honor, these
I
are
was hoping you would.
I would, Your Honor. These are expensive blue jeans. They sell between the ranges of $40 and $50. These are not the type of blue jeans that are sold in stores like The Gap or Old Navy and so on and so forth.
Well, what makes them so good besides the price?
It's just that the manufacturers, if you will, have designed them in such a way and have created a name for them that teenagers between 12 through 24 who are want to buy high-fashion blue jeans, seek out these particular items, Your Honor. And one of my points is the fact that The Gap is there and sells blue jeans, and the fact that there are other stores in there that sell blue jeans hasn't had any impact on E Street's ability to raise prices on these particular blue jeans once my client was eliminated as a competitor, because these are highly sought out by the very customers that both stores compete for, and that is kids between the ages of 12 and 24 who are often buy high-fashioned and blue jeans. I want to say something about market power, Your Honor, because I think it's not clear whether market power had to be pled in this case. And when I say that, I refer to the case of FTC versus Indiana Federation of Dentists. And while I'm reluctant to quote from the case, I think the quote is important here because it directly addresses the issue of market power. And it says, proof of actual detrimental effects can obviate the need for an inquiry into market power, which is but a surrogate for detrimental effects. And what I take that to mean, Your Honor, is that when you can prove, and when you have pled here, that there has been an actual injury to the consumer, then market power is not in play. And if you take a look at the cases that discuss market power, they involve situations where no one has specifically alleged an antitrust harm. They've alleged the potential of harm as a result of the elimination of it as a competitor, but those cases have not actually said, and as a result of my elimination, consumers are now paying higher prices, which is precisely what we have alleged here, Your Honor. As a result of the elimination of 42nd Parallel as a competitor to these particular high-end fashion blue jeans, East Street is now able to sell them at higher prices, and that is the consumer has paid higher prices, which means the consumer has been injured. Because when the two companies were in competition with each other, East Street was not able to artificially inflate the prices for these particular blue jeans. So I respectfully submit that when the judge talked about market power, he failed to take into consideration that in this case we had actually pled an actual detrimental effect to the consumer. Furthermore, quickly about market power.
Doesn't the Brunswick case hold that is insufficient under the Sherman Act for a plaintiff to allege an injury to his own business, but rather it must be to the competitors, not just competition between two? Isn't that what that case holds?
That's right, Your Honor, but that's not our situation here because, well, my client has been injured as a result of it being eliminated as a competitor. The consumer in this area has been injured as well because they're now paying higher prices for these blue jeans. They've eliminated my client as a carrier of blue
higher
jeans.
Prices than what?
Than their suggested retail.
In that particular area?
That particular area, Your Honor.
Well, as Judge Bauer pointed out, there's no reason they can't get out of that area, is there, to buy it?
Well, my contention is that that's an issue for discovery. That's not an issue for pleading, Your Honor. Those kinds of facts, those kinds of issues, those kinds of questions about cross-elasticity of demand or the relevancy of the market.
Didn't the judge hold that that wasn't pled properly?
No. On the issue of the relevant market area, Your Honor, and on the issue of the product line, which were grounds raised below as reasons to dismiss this case, the court, as a matter of fact, had said that we had properly pleaded those elements. Moreover, the court had also said that we had pleaded the existence of an illegal restraint of trade. And the only grounds that the court ruled on or held on were the fact that we supposedly didn't plead an antitrust injury when we had, and this whole issue of market power. I want to make one other
point. Antitrust laws are not designed to guarantee every competitor a tenure in the marketplace.
I agree, Your Honor, but they are designed to protect consumers who have been
Are you representing consumers or are you representing
Other
individual?
No, but we have standing as a private litigant to claim injury to the consumer in this case, Your Honor. That's what the law says. We were in a position to be able to do that. And indeed, we have pled clearly in the complaint that consumers are now paying higher prices as a result of elimination of us as a competitor. One other point, Your Honor, about this whole thing about area. Counsel got up here and said that when I said area in the complaint, or when the complaint said area, that we said relevant market area, and that is stores in the relevant market area were carrying these products. And that's not what the complaint says. We've never made that concession. It was a simple misreading of the complaint by the trial court judge, Your Honor. Last but not least, the very arguments that they've talked about, the relevancy of the marketplace, product line, interchangeability of products, elasticity of demand, I respectfully submit, Your Honor, that if you take a look at the Seventh Circuit case, and that's the Hams versus Amco case, those are the very issues that this court said should be decided not on a motion to dismiss, but after discovery, either on a summary judgment motion or on trial. Those are fact questions. In effect, counsel came up here and made a factual argument. Those facts aren't in the record. We don't know that at this point. We've pled a complaint, Your Honor, it's met all the elements of an antitrust claim. We respectfully submit that the court erred when it dismissed our complaint, and we're asking the court to reverse the trial court's wrongful decision.
Thank you, counsel. We'll take the case under advisement and proceed.